the issue. Actually, I will have one more Sunday for you on the doctrines of the church. As you remember, we look into the Bible, and then we look into God the Father, then the Lord Jesus Christ, then we talk about the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday was on the Lord's Supper, and today is going to be on water baptism. Water baptism. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we are related to the area of the Holy Spirit. But now I want to consider the second commandment or the second ordinance that God established for the people of the church. Now, shortly before Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus gave the apostles a very special commission. You don't have to look that. I'm going to look in Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to read for you verses 18 to 20. This is as a way of introduction. I'm going to have a long introduction, so I place you into the area where people were baptized. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 28, verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And now verse 19, "Go ye therefore," and the King James said, "teach," the word didaskalos should be translated, "make disciples," "and go and make disciples of all nations." And the first thing he said is baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 20, he gives the clue for a pastor of the church. The Bible says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. The pastor cannot teach anything he wants to. He only can teach the things that God commanded in the scripture. Teaching them all the things that I commanded you. And then the great promise of Jesus. And lo, he said, I am with you always. Even when we are a little upset with God. I'm with you always. Even to the end of the world, said the King James. The word is ego, means the age, this period of the church here. So baptism is not the idea of the Baptist church, some people told me. Is it baptism the idea of the Baptist church, or not the idea of the Presbyterian church or Pentecostal church? Is the idea of God, all right? He commanded in the scripture. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, which is the next gospel, the Great Commission is worded a little bit different. If you look at Mark chapter 16, the very last chapter of the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, you will notice that the terminology is just a little bit different, and I make a comment on that. In Mark 16, verse 15 said, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved," said the scripture. "Even he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will not be condemned." Now, I want you to know this. In both places, we notice the mention of the word baptism. And I make a comment in the two scriptures very lightly. And in Matthew, it is related to the process of making disciples. Go ye and make disciples and baptize them. In the Gospel of Mark, it is mentioned in connection with salvation. Do you notice? That type of connection over there. Whatever the purpose of baptism, it must be important to Jesus, for he commanded. And he himself was baptized. So it must be a very important issue. Now I have a few questions for you that I asked myself when I was young. What is baptism? I asked myself. What is baptism? It is putting water in my head. It is a sprinkling water, or it is immersion? Is one baptized in water or in the spirit? Things like this were questioned in my mind. The second question I have is, what is the purpose of baptism? Why do we have baptism? All right. And another question I have in my mind, who should be baptized? Who should be baptized? Anybody? Anyone? All right. Are the Chinese excluded? No. All right. All right. Is there ever a need to be rebaptized? Do we have to, people come to me and say, I have been baptized. Do I have to baptize him again? There are churches who do that and so on. In this study this morning, the study is really devoted to answering these questions as not I go through the scripture, but as I go through a paragraph that our brother read. The best way to learn is by example. Like if you're trying to learn a computer, one thing is to read a book. Another thing is to sit down in front of the computer and say, and what is this? I remember I taught in English to Spanish people computer in South America. It was a first grade class. And I draw, you know, I'm very handy with my hand. I draw a computer and I say, this is a screen. Oh, a screen. Everybody says, all right. This is a keyboard. A keyboard, they say, everybody. All right. Here is a raton, a mouse. A mouse, they said. You know, children. Okay, let's all yield. A screen, mouse. You know, in 10 minutes, they knew what it was. They don't have to memorize it. They knew it. And even the director of the school came in because they hear the noise around. He said, what are you trying to do? You're trying to scream so they get to your head. All right? When you read the Bible, read it loudly. It's going to make more sense to you. Now, since it was commanded by Christ, it is certainly worthy of a very careful consideration. It is my prayer that you will have the attitude of people in Berea. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, Paul came to this Jewish town, Berea, in Europe, and taught that Jesus was the Messiah. And rather than rejecting Paul, the Bible said that those people went home and checked the manuscript to see if Paul was right or wrong. And so we're going to work this morning together in this, all right? We're going to present the need of this study in a marvelous way. We're going to, you have here, right here, I was looking for this, you have here, in an outline of baptism that will help you to follow with me if you want to, okay? And it's the page number. Now, number one, when a person is baptized, and what occasion you baptize the person? The first thing I know that, let's go to Acts chapter 8. Let's go to the scripture. I'm going to give you an example, all right? An example of baptism. And through the example of baptism, we're going to learn all these questions that I have for you. Number one is this. Jesus Christ need to be preached, no exception. In a case of baptism, Jesus Christ first, before baptizing anybody, Jesus Christ need to be preached, no exception. Look at in chapter 8 and in verse 35. By the way, that word Philip, the name of that person, he was a deacon of the church. If you look, before you look to that, go back to chapter 6 with me in book of Acts in chapter 6. And look with me. In verse 5, the disciples were doing everything, cutting the grass, cleaning the church, doing all kinds of things. And they said, no, we cannot do that. He said, wherefore, verse 3 said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who may appoint into this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's the work of a pastor. He's not to clean the building and do this and the other. His job is to present the word of God to you, share the word of God with you, teach the word of God with you, and pray for you. And now verse 5 says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they choose a Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip. Now, this is that Philip. Let's go back to chapter 8. This is that Philip. This Philip, it was a deacon of the church, and he was an evangelist. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls, at the end of the book of Acts, the Bible called him the house of the evangelist. He's kind of a crest in Brother Salvador. They go around and they pass tracts, and always the gospel flows through their lips, okay? And so that's how it is. So no exception. Now look at what the evangelist did. Verse 35. Let's go back to chapter 8 and verse 35 now. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him the doctrines of the church of Jerusalem. No. What did he preach to him? Jesus. Now, the word preach is an interesting word. Evangelizo comes from the word in the original language evangelio, which means gospel. All right? In Spanish is evangelio. All right? And that's the Greek word evangelio, which means gospel. And the Bible said here then, if you correctly translate this, the Bible will say, and begin at the same scripture, and evangelize him to Jesus. In other words, he introduced Jesus to this man. He was looking for the Israel Messiah. He's trying to figure out how the things work out. And it's amazing how the things come together. Now, to whom he talked? Well, let's look in chapter 8, the same chapter, and look in verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and evangelized or preached Christ unto them. So they were the Samaritans. As you know, the Samaritans are a mixed race. They were Jewish married to the Assyrians. And so the Jews don't like that because the Jews like pure race. Like Hitler did in Germany. They like pure race. They don't like mix their children with anybody else except with a Jew, all right? And so they were commanded in that way for a reason and a special time in the Old Testament. And so now they don't like Samaria, but God likes the Samaritan, and the gospel was preached in Samaria. Isn't that a wonderful God that we have? It's amazing. A Jew now goes to the city of Samaria, the city that Jews do not like it, and he preached the gospel over there. Now, if you look in chapter 8, verse 27 and verse 28, he went to the Ethiopians. The Ethiopians are black-skinned, Caucasian structure of the body. They look like you and me, but they are black skin. It's different than the people in Africa. It's a different race. And look at here, verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man, the Bible said, of Ethiopian, and an eunuch. That means somebody who has been castrated because he served the queen, and of great authority, and the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all the treasure. He was a secretary treasurer, you will call it today, a secretary treasurer of the country, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he maybe was interested in the Jewish religion. Verse 28, was returning and seated in his chariot, in his super Cadillac. Can you imagine? Secretary treasurer with a super Cadillac, water in the air, everything, the servants over there, and somebody managing the car, and he's sitting in the back reading. What is he reading? He's reading Isaiah the prophet. That's very unusual. Now, you know, there were no Bibles like this. Also, get it right. There was no Bible like this. It wasn't a scroll. So maybe two servants hold the scroll, but it was big scrolls. Remember, they don't wrote tiny little letters. They wrote big characters. So the scroll went from here to here, and the two servants. So there was a big Cadillac, you know, those Escalade or something like that. And then they were moving like this, and he was reading there. No amazing? Somebody reading the scripture. You find yourself sometimes reading the scripture, you don't know why. God knows why. Amazing. So Christ needs to be preached. Nobody needs to, you cannot baptize anybody unless that person have read the scripture first. That's the first lesson. If I baptize you to be a member of the church, means nothing. The Holy Spirit had to baptize you first and become a Christian. You understand how the Holy Spirit baptizes you. As you read the scripture, the Holy Spirit will lead you. You will know it. I cannot tell you how, but you will know it. And then you believe. Then you can say, Pastor, I believe. I want to be baptized. So Christ needs to be preached. It's not by reading philosophy. It's not by reading science. It's not by... You need to humble yourself and read this book called the Bible. All right. Number two. Jesus must be believed upon. A lot of people say, oh, yes, I know Jesus. I know this. But look at here, verse 12. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching, the things concerning what? The kingdom of God, that's Israel, and the name of Jesus Christ, that is the church, together, they were baptized, both men and women. So they had to believe. In other words, you need to understand. You read the Bible, maybe you understand what Israel is all about. This morning I discovered a Hebrew channel called Israel. And as I'm going to see what they say, and I turn it on just to practice my Hebrew and to listen. And here is Prime Minister Netanyahu speaking. And believe it me or not, boy, my wife said, what happened? I started crying. He said, well, the highway, he was saying, from Galilee into Nazareth and from Nazareth to Negev. And I was crying. And we're going to rebuild this and we're going to do this and we're going to do the other and we're going to do this. And one day he said, Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. He said, he had read Revelation. But he was not talking about Revelation. He was talking about the power of Israel, regardless what people said and do. And I said, it's amazing. The 2,000 years after Christ's death, a tiny little place divided in two parts now, Jerusalem, is becoming the number one place in the mind of every government. It's not amazing for a believer because he knows. And I said, Lord, I'm coming closer to the end. I can hear the helicopter, blah, 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 Jesus coming now. All right? See, because President Obama has Air Force One. Jesus has Helicopter One. All right? And he's coming down. And he's coming down. But for him to come down, things need to happen. That's what we study in the night. I pass the papers. That's the details. And so here it is in this beautiful. Christ must be believed upon. Now you maybe say, why, Pastor? What's going on? Okay. We are in Acts. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 12. Here's what God said in chapter 4, verse 12. And these are the words of Peter. And Peter was a Jew from Galilee. All right? Here's what it is. That means it has dark skin. Galilean has dark skin. All right? Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name in which you can use as a relationship to God. Neither there is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's talking about Jesus, the context. You cannot go to heaven and say, I bring you the papers of Bethel Baptist Church. I clean the grass. I clean the church. I give money. I did this. I did the other. Is it too bad? No good enough. You cannot say, I have a, like somebody told me in an elevator one day. I said, I was in an elevator in New York, and we were about four or five people. And I said, I want to have fun. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, ladies and gentlemen, have you been baptized? And everybody looked like that. And one guy, surprise to surprise, he pulled out and said, oh, by the Pope, here it is, by Pope so-and-so, and I go to heaven. And I break that thing. Oh, the guy wanted to kill me. I said, this is nothing. I said, I have been baptized by God. And I show my Bible. And they thought I was a nut. First, to do the question. Secondly, what I did. But the people were talking later on in this assembly. They have, you know, psychologists they meet and so on. They were talking about that guy. Watch out, he's going to ask you if you have been baptized or not. Now, in the name of Jesus, that means that's the only name. You cannot go and say, I got a good lawyer, Brother Kim. Oh, he's a good lawyer, and he's going to present my case. Now, I'll tell you why is Jesus. I don't have it in the notes, but if you go with me to 1 John, look at here. Almost to the end of your Bible, almost to the end. It's easy to find. As soon as I find it, I'll tell you the page. 1 John chapter 2, which is page 1328. Page 1328. 1 John chapter 2, and here is why the name of Jesus works. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. The word is a lawyer. We have a lawyer with a father who already has a license in heaven, who is approved in heaven. And look at what it is. He said, Jesus Christ, Gentile Jesus,
Jewish people, Christ. Jesus Christ, who bring both of us together into the presence of God. So I want to have a lawyer like that, that works in heaven, has a proper license, all right? Okay, now, number two, Jesus' name work, because it's the only name that is acceptable in heaven. And name means the character of Jesus. His work on death on the cross is the only thing that God accepted. Number two, he is the Messiah. And somebody told me, you know, people tell me, say, where the Bible say that? Well, right here. Let's go to John chapter 1 in verse 41, page 1149. That's the page in my Bible and should be the same page in your Bible there in the pew. Page 1149 in John Gospel chapter 1 verse 49. Now, Jesus is my lawyer. Jesus' work is accepted. He has the credentials with the Father. He's licensed in heaven. He's the only one that can bring the cases, and they're all winners. All right. Now, 140, we talk about Jesus, all right? 141, chapter 1 verse 41. Let me read verse 39, verse 38, so you get the picture. Then Jesus turned on and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? They say unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Verse 39, he said unto them, come and see. They come and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Okay, 10 time. Remember, the first hour is 6 o'clock in the morning. You saw my watch in my office? 6 o'clock in the morning, that's on the top, not 12. Then plus 6, that's 16, that's 4 p.m. That's dinner time in Israel, all right? That's 4 p.m. Now look at verse 41. He first finded his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. So now you learn two things today. The word Christ is an English word for the word Christos in Greek, and the word Christos is a Greek word for the word Messiah in the Hebrew. And so Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And so the point number two in baptism is this. You must believe, if you're a Jew, you must believe that Jesus is the Messiah. All right? John 1:41. You must believe Jesus is the Messiah. If you're a Gentile, you must believe that his name is the only credential you need to be in heaven. And the only person that has done something for you that you and I do not deserve it. Amazing. Amazing. So all of these things need to be done before baptism. See that? Need to come to places. Okay, let's go back to Acts chapter 8 again, and page 1230. John chapter 8, and let's follow. All right? Number one, Jesus need to be preached. Number two, Jesus must believe. And then number three, conviction must be exhibited. Look at in John chapter 8. And in verse 38, and these fellow who, whatever, see, he commanded, said the Greek here, he commanded the chariot. See, Phillips was sitting with a nuke in the back, and he told his chauffeur, you see, stop the escalate right here, see? He said, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both into the water, both Phillips and the eunuch. But before that, look in verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. Now, if you see the region, there are two brooks over there and one river. If you study the region today, it existed and is a river there. And so, verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? What has stopped me to be baptized? Now, Philip has done a good job, don't we? He spoke about Jesus. He spoke about the Jewish baptism. He spoke about the Christian baptism. Philip's really moving the scroll back and forth. Of course, they had those helpers over there, and the Cadillac was doing beautiful. And so they conviction must be existing. You know, he read the new. Philip did not say, do you want to be baptized? He didn't. That's why I never asked you to be baptized. I want you to ask me, so I can ask you questions. So Philip didn't. The Bible said that the man said, now look, here is water. He maybe talk about being baptized. They have water on the Cadillac in the back. They did. So why, I explain in a minute, why then the eunuch say, oh, here's a river. I can be baptized. All right? So conviction must be exhibited. I will not say how many want to be baptized because you can be emotionally moved, but then means nothing. I want you to read the scripture to have the conviction of God's power by the Holy Spirit and say, Pastor, I need to be baptized. That's what I need. All right? Number four now. Condition must be established. If you are using other Bible than the King James, I'm very sorry, this verse, they took it away. It's in the bottom of your Bible. But this verse is in the old papers. All right, verse 37. Now look at what it says. And Philip, verse 37, and Philip said, what did he say? If you are a member of Bethel Baptist Church, sure you can be baptized. If you are a member of the Jerusalem Church, if you are a member of the Presbyterian Church, no, well, look at what he said, verse 37. If thou believest with your brilliant mind, no, he said, if thou believest in your heart, you see, if thou believest with everything you have, thou mayest. In other words, a condition must be established. If somebody come to me and say, Pastor, I want to be baptized, I always ask why. Why? Why do you want to be baptized? What do you want to do? What that means to you? What do you believe? That's proper to ask. He said, very clear, if thou believest. Now, imagine if I bring a baby to Philip's. Think of it, you say. Bring a baby. I said, baby, Philip, will you baptize this baby? Then Philip will say the thing that he said here in verse 37. He said, if thou believest, do you believe? And the baby will say, yeah! And the baby cannot be baptized. All right? I make it ridiculous, but it's clear, all right? It's clear. Some people, I was in a Catholic church where they baptized a baby, and the baby cried when it hit cold water. It's proper. And so the mother said, why did he cry? Because he doesn't know what's going on. So we tell him later, but that's not what the scripture said. See, if thou believest with thy heart, you believe with your heart. You have to believe. In other words, the condition to be baptized is not. See, the church is not looking for church membership. The church don't get. I don't get a raise by you getting baptized. You know what it is? What it is is you need to have conviction. Conviction. You need to say, this is what I want to do because. And you stand on your truth. All right? Now, condition must be established. Then response must follow. Look at verse 37. It's very easy. Verse 37 says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that deep? I mean, that's profound. I believe that this human being called Jesus, he called that name, the Latin part, the Gentile part of Jesus. I believe because he was a Gentile, so he hold to the Gentile activity of Jesus. And he said, I believe that Jesus, he is Jehovah. Wow. I told you about that, but I show it to you where Jesus said that he was Jehovah. If you put your hand in Acts and move your Bible to the left, and you go to John chapter 8. Let me read for you almost at the end of John chapter 8, page 1161. Verse 57 says, then said the Jew unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Because Jesus was talking about it. And look at verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am present. Jehovah. And now, if somebody come to you and say, I am, you say nothing, not to a Jew. Because Yahweh, that's I am, Yahweh, is, see, the Jewish people do not have present tense. The easy language to learn. You have no present tense. So the action is future or the action is past. Easy. For us, Latin is easy. Easy language. It's just a pancake. It's just good. And the vowel pronounced like Spanish, so is the heavenly language. All right? Now, here is what it is. Jesus said, I am.
Now, these people were Jew. Look at verse 59, what they're trying to do with him. Then said the Jew unto him, thou art not yet, excuse me. Then took they up stones to cast at him. In other words, they want to kill him. Why? Because he said he was God. I am. I'm God. See, for the Jewish language, I am only a reserve for God. God is the one who will be present now. For the Jewish mind, when you say I am, then now you're in the past because already you spoke. Very minded, very technical, very mathematical language. And so the beauty is, as a matter of fact, that the Bible is written with 27 characters in every line. And that's how they check if the Bible is okay or not. They don't check if you spell right. They count the characters to see the amount of characters that goes into. I tell you, it's just fascinating. And so the condition was established, and the personal response came to be. And the man said, yes, Jesus Christ is God. Wow. People said, is that a requirement? It is. You read Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 19. All the qualities of God are in him. And so how you came to that conclusion, I don't came to that conclusion, was given to me by the Holy Spirit. That is the only person that can I tell you. Because if you start reasoning with our little tiny, teeny, teeny, teeny mind, we never understand it. But if you read the scripture and you trust what you read, at a given moment you say, boy, that fit here and that fit here and that fit here. Wow, Jesus is it. It's the scripture, my brother. You read it and read it. At first, when you read it, you don't understand it. That's good. That means you are an unbeliever. Okay. And now you read it and read it and read it. And very soon you say, oh, this is bad. This is bad. Keep reading, reading, and then you will see how the thing fit together. The best evangelist is this book called the Bible. That is the best evangelist. That's what our church gives Bibles away. Because it's the best evangelist. So the condition was established. The response followed. Now, action must take place. I want you carefully. Can you imagine that the church is divided, the Presbyterian church is split from other churches, from Catholic church and from Protestant church. The whole church is split because of this verse I'm going to read, verse 38. Look at here. And he commanded the Cadillac to stand still. And they went down, both, no, out of the car. But look at what the Bible said. Verse 38 in Acts chapter 8, page 1191. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. You got it or not? People say, oh, one Presbyterian pastor told me, Pastor Otero, you don't understand America. This is not America. This is Israel. So what this man did, he went into the water, and the guy got a little cup. There was no cup made at that time. I checked in the internet. Cups were made later on. Then he made a little cup, and he put water in his head. Boy, when we don't have the Bible, we create all kinds of invention. That's not what they said. Now, I want you to show you something, that Jesus did the same thing. Put one hand in Acts and go with me to Matthew's gospel, the first gospel, in chapter 3. That's the baptism of Jesus. All right? Matthew's gospel, chapter 3, page 1039. Page 1039. And look at this. Verse 15. And Jesus answered and said unto John the Baptist, suffer it to be so now. John the Baptist don't want to baptize him. And he said, yes, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he did it. Verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water. So Jesus was in the water when he was baptized. All right? He was baptized on the Blessed Jordan, like my grandmother, Arab, will say. He was baptized on that Blessed Jordan. You know, the Arabs, you never can take the Jordan away. It's just amazing. All right? Action must take place. I need to obey the Lord. Now, they went into the water, and what they did? Well, they don't say anything here, but in Romans did. If you go with me, this is Acts. The next book in your Bible is Romans. Go with me to chapter 6 of the book of Romans. That is on page 1:2-7. Now, in Romans, they explain how the baptism took place. And what is it? Look at in verse 3. Romans 6:3, page 1:2-27. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Now the meaning of baptism is coming into place, the death of Christ. Now the explanation follows in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him into baptism, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so baptism is a very simple picture. Baptism is a picture not of the church, not of what you have done, but is a picture of this. You are saying, I'm saved, I'm related to God in a proper manner. If I die, I'll be in heaven because of Jesus, because he died for me. So we immerse into the water, like Romans said, and then he rose up for me. It's not that dandy. It's not that beautiful. It's not that, sprinkling your head. I'm not against anybody who is sprinkling your head. You sprinkle your head to comb yourself. So, but not to do baptism. Because baptism is an entire different story. It is completely, completely different. The picture is you now are relating to God in an equal level with God because Christ died for you and he rose up for you. And so the picture of immersion and coming back is wonderful. It is what it is, I will say, a really complete picture. So action must take place. So you know what happened? We don't have a baptism place in this church, but we used to have baptism in one of the neighbors here in town, and then we used to have another church. Now we have our second church in the Cones family. And so we own the swimming pool in the Cones family, and we baptize in the family. And until the Lord give us a place where to do it. But it's just marvelous. So let me conclude with this. Baptism is a picture of our sin being washed away. Look at in Acts 22 and verse 16. Acts 22, verse 16. Baptism, Acts 22, verse 16, page 1213. Page 1213. Baptism is a picture of our sin washed away. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. It's not that by baptism you wash away your sin. It's a picture of your sins are washed away. Our Presbyterian people are fighting with this because the word bapto means to wash. But baptoso means to wash. When you are too young and born in America so rich. But I was born in a country that was not so rich. And so we have a basin to wash our hands. We don't have a commodity or the faucet and so on. And so to wash your hands, you dip your hands into the water. And that is called baptizing your hands. I mean, in Hebrew, washing your hands. And that's what it is here. See? And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away our sins. So baptism is a picture that you sin. The sin that you are guilty before God is gone. Was washed away with good detergent from God. Now, baptism was done after salvation. Look at in chapter, you are in Acts 20, look in 16. Baptism was done after salvation, not before salvation. You cannot baptize a baby so that he can be saved. I asked the Presbyterians, why do you baptize a baby? I asked the Catholic Church, the priest, why do you baptize a baby? He said, we promised the baby to be saved. Who are we? Only God can do it. Now, let's go to the history of the church. We don't have to create. They told me, read history. Yeah, I read. Acts chapter, the book of Acts, 33 years of history. Okay, look at it in Acts 16. And look, remember the jailer. The Bible said, verse 29, then he called for a light and sprang it and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. The doors were open. Nobody was out. And brought them out and said, sir, What must I do to be saved? Sir, how can I be saved? And what they say? Verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Believe was the condition. Now look at here. Verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed away their stripes, and was baptized, he and all. All right? Was baptized, he and all his. So first he believed, and then he was baptized. Then baptism is a picture in death and resurrection of Christ. I already explained it to you. Now, my question to you is this. I hope this is clear to you. I hope this is fundamentally a basic stuff, very simple. But I don't create it. I just follow what took place 2,000 years ago. I just follow what a member of the church, a deacon, did. And so this is fresh. It's a real stuff. A Jew person did it, by the way. Philip was a Jew. And it was a blessing to have this Jew understanding the scripture. Stephen was dead because of his belief. He was an intellectual. You can read Acts chapter 7, and you read Stephen's summary on the life of Israel. Never, nobody can write so sharp and so beautiful like Stephen wrote. And then he died because he did it. He said that Moses was a picture of Christ, and they stoned him. And here is Philip. A few years after, going into Samaria, into a territory that was not his, and he preached, and people believed, and he baptized. So baptism is the second ordinance of the church and the doctrine of the church. Baptism is saying, we now, when you are baptized, you are saying to the people watching you, you are saying, now I believe that me, a completely clean and saved and perfect before God because of Jesus' work. That's what it is. Because of the work of Christ. Your baptism do not bring you to God. Your baptism is a testimony of what God has done for you. Isn't that wonderful? Is that gorgeous? It's not complicated. You just read it 100 times and you believe it. But what happens is people read the Bible one time and that's it. No, I never learn when I read one time. I have to read at least 100 times. I'm too slow. So I read and read and read. Finally, I memorize it. And when I have it in my head, I start thinking, well, number one, where's number one? Where's number two? Where's number three? Now, how number three relate to number one? How number two relate to number three? How they intercede together? You know, I'm complicated in my mind. But you are not. You are simple. You are ahead of me. But you have to believe it. You have to believe it. It's up to you. Today, when you leave, you can tell me, Pastor, I believe. I'm ready to be baptized. I don't want to ask you. Philip, do not ask the man. And then we get a Cadillac Escalade. You give it to me. And then we go and baptize you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the example. So gorgeous. So simple. But so deep. We have done nothing. Nothing to deserve to be baptized. But in your mercy and in your wonder, you brought us to Christ. And rather than feeling guilty and down, we saw a Savior. We saw one who paid for my iniquities. We saw one who separated me from my own self, from my sins. And Lord, what I read today, I'm so delighted that the God of Israel is pleased to save a Gentile like me. Thank you, Lord, for Israel. And thank you for the God who loves us. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen. In these nights of a restless remove. Lord, we bless your name because we all have been in the other side of the street. We all were born sinners. And in your mercy, somewhere, somehow, you brought us into your kingdom. Through your word, through reading a book, through somebody telling us about you, each one in a different way, we came to you. And now, Father, we pray for our children. We pray for our young people in our church, especially those who are in college, that their foundation be not shaken, and that their mind will be settled in you. And for those who have not yet been baptized, that never experienced baptism, I pray that they will consider this scripture into their heart. Lord, we respect everybody. We love everybody, baptized or not. But we pray that those who have convictions may express it, and we may rejoice. Bless us as we go to our home. Give us your presence for the whole week. And may the kindness, the gentleness, and the direction of Jesus follow us all the way. In Jesus we pray. Amen.